Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, which means we look at who Jesus was, the Lord God of the Old Testament, before he came into flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. So he was God manifested in the flesh. He was the one who gave the commandments to Israel. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was the one who told the children of Israel, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and told them to observe the Sabbath day, and also the Sabbaths, the annual Sabbaths of God. Let's see what his example was while he was living in the flesh on earth. And let's see how people received him. And let's also remember this, that what Jesus taught was how to keep the commandments of God at a spiritual level, not the letter of the law. And also let's understand something very important along this line. Jesus never sinned, which means everything he did was in accordance with the will of God, according to the commandments of God, on a high spiritual level. Now let's review just a little bit here. Remember how we've covered in Matthew 5:17, where Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to destroy or abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And then he also said that whoever shall teach these commandments shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever does not teach them shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And he also said something else that's very, very important, which is this: unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, there's no way you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? A lot of people think, well, the Jews were keeping the commandments of God. They should have. Don't you agree that they should have? Yes, indeed. But did they really? What was it that the Jews actually practiced? While they had the framework of the Sabbath and the holy days, and the framework of the commandments of God, what was it that they practiced instead of the commandments of God? What was it that they did to the commandments of God to make it nearly impossible to keep the commandments of God the way that God intended? And in fact, in doing so, while professing to keep the commandments of God, they were actually rejecting the commandments of God. Let's come to Mark, the 7th chapter, and let's see what Jesus taught. Now, the Jews had many traditions, and they claimed that these traditions were passed on verbally from the well-educated and the esoteric ones, that this was passed on verbally from Moses down through the generations, which is not true. And so the whole religion of Judaism, while it appears to be based on the commandments of God, is not. Rather, it's based on their own traditions, the traditions of men. Now, go on to our other website, cbcg.org, and download and study the series that we have. It's actually a study through the book of Matthew. Study scripturalism versus Judaism, and you will be shocked and amazed. While professing to keep the commandments of God and serve God, they didn't love God. Jesus said, "I know you, that you do not have the love of God." Now, it's the same way with many religions. They claim to love God, but they don't obey him. And as we saw before, you cannot love God unless you obey him. It's an impossibility. And likewise, with the traditions of men. Now, there are a lot of traditions of men. There are Catholic traditions which supersede the Bible, and the Catholics brag and say, we don't need the Bible. We could preach the truth of the gospel without the Bible. How is that going to happen? Why then did you become so paganized? The Jews say, we can look at Catholicism and we can see, hey, that's just paganism baptized. The Bible looks at what the Jews do and say, hey, that is Judaism, which rejects the commandments of God, and yet you hold the commandments of God and claim to be the repository of all truth concerning the laws and commandments of God. Now, mark the 7th chapter. This is going to be very interesting. Let's follow this through, and let's see the truth of what Jesus is saying. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes from Jerusalem came together to him, and when they saw some of his disciples eating with defiled hands, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, let's understand something here. One, the Jews, even with their own traditions, did not eat any what the Bible calls unclean foods. Period. This is not talking about clean or unclean meats. As the NIV translates the sum of this episode recorded in Mark 7, thus Jesus declared all meats clean. Wrong translation. And as a matter of fact, for many of you out there who've been good Protestants all your life, most of what you believe is based upon wrong translations and wrong interpretations. Did you know that? Have you proved that? Now, we've got a booklet, Understanding the Difficult Commands of the Apostle Paul Concerning the Law and Commandments of God. The dispute was never over whether to keep the commandments of God or not. The dispute was the same thing here, over Jewish tradition. And then from that, we learned the lesson, all traditions of men are contrary to the word of God. So let's read on. Verse 3. The Pharisees and all the Jews, holding fast to the tradition of the elders, do not eat unless they wash their hands thoroughly. Have you ever been working, had a lunch, open it up, take it out, get your sandwich and eat it, your hands not washed? Ooh, according to Jewish tradition, you just committed a terrible sin. Verse 4, even when coming from the market, they do not eat unless they first wash themselves, and there are many other things that they have received to observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and tables. For this reason, the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, saying, now, you see, it wasn't, why weren't your disciples keeping the commandments of God? Notice the question. Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And is this not true we're going to see of people today? They profess God, but they keep their own way. They profess to know the truth, but they hold to their tradition. Same way with Sabbath Sunday. Oh, the Jews had the Sabbath, that's true, but what did they do? They buried it under their own human traditions and made it a burden. Let's read the effect of traditions concerning the laws of God. Verse 6, and he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites. Isn't that true? Hypocrites everywhere. Anyone who gets in the pulpit and doesn't teach the word of God and does not teach the love of God and does not teach the Sabbath of God is a hypocrite. Doubly so if they bring the traditions. Like I was talking to one Catholic, and he said, well, he grew up in the Catholic Church, and he went to the Catholic elementary school. They never once brought out the verses of the Bible. He went through junior high school, he went to college, and never once did they teach out of the scriptures until his fourth year in college when they read a little bit of the Bible. And the priest said, we don't need the Bible. We have tradition. Tradition. Same way with the Jews today. We don't need the Bible. We have tradition. Whatever the rabbi tells us, that's what we do. Whatever the priest tells us, the Catholics say, that's what we do. Where's God? Notice what Jesus said. Verse 6. Well, did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Where's your heart? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? Is that what you're trying to do? And remember, as we have covered, that's the first commandment. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, God, who is love, gave his commandments to us because he loves us, because he wants to bless us, because he wants us to know him. And you can't know God unless you keep his commandments. Now let's go on. Notice what Jesus said. What does this kind of worship do? What is it worth to God? What is it worth to you? Verse 7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For leaving the commandments of God, you hold fast the tradition of men. Is that what you do? What do you believe? What have you been taught? Have you been taught out of the Bible? Have you been taught the pure words of God? What do you even know about the Bible? Such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things like this. Now, we're soon going to have a book out. Probably be ready by time we edit and get this program ready, so I'm going to announce it here. It is entitled Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or the Religion of Men. And you can write in for it. Christian Biblical Church of God at Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, zip code 95024. And we will send you that book absolutely free. And that will startle you. That will be the most eye-opening book that you have ever read, and that will clear away many of the cobwebs and many of the things which cause lack of focus toward the Word of God. And it's going to show you that Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament or the teachings of Moses, though they claim they are. And this book is written not as an attack against the Jews, but it is written from the point of view, even more fair and balanced than some news channels, takes the teachings of the rabbis and their own words and let them explain what they believe. And here's what you're going to find. Verse 9. Full well do you reject the commandment of God so you may observe your own tradition. Is that what your religion is like? Are you a Catholic and follow all of the traditions that they have? All those abominable idols and things, rosaries, crucifixes, pictures of Mary, pictures of Christ? Walk into any cathedral and see it's filled with idols. Go to St. Peter's Basilica and look outside and look up around. See what it's like. Look at what the Pope wears. Full of idols and traditions. Same way with Judaism. And the same way with Protestantism. They don't have quite so many idols and they don't have quite so many traditions. But they keep Sunday. Follow the Roman Catholic Church in that. Now let's see What Jesus did. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Let's come here to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And let's see that Jesus kept all the commandments of God in the spirit and not in the letter. And Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, was the Savior of all mankind because he was the creator of all mankind. Now, don't you think that is just? Don't you think that God has perfect justice in that? Because men have sinned, and God has allowed them and given them over to sin and their own way, that God himself would come in the flesh, take on human nature, and live a life with never sinning, to be the perfect sacrifice to cover the sins of all mankind. Yes, God is just. God is fair. God is righteous. God is good. God is love. Satan is the one who's been given control of this world. And one of the first things that Jesus had to do before he started his ministry was what? Be confronted with Satan, the devil, and overcome all the temptations of the devil. You find that in the first part of the fourth chapter of Luke, verse 13. Now, when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him for a time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the word about him went out into the entire country around. Everyone heard it. Everyone. He was healing. He was preaching. He was teaching. And he taught in their synagogues and was glorified by all. Now, notice verse 16. Very important verse to understand, because we're told in the New Testament that we are to follow Christ. We're also told in the New Testament that the message and the words of Jesus Christ came directly from God the Father, as he was taught by the Father and given commandment. He didn't teach anything different but what God the Father told him to do and to bring. And that was absolutely essential, because as God manifested in the flesh, yet bearing human nature, he could not sin one time, otherwise he would not qualify as Savior of mankind. He would die for his own sin, not ours. Now let's notice what he did here, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. How about that? His custom. He kept the Sabbath all his life. Where was he when he was 12 years old? Luke, the second chapter. Well, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, after the Passover, he was up there with the teachers, asking questions and also giving answers. And they were amazed that a 12-year-old boy would have that much understanding. Well, he was taught by God the Father, that's why. So he kept the Sabbath, stood up to read. Verse 17, and there was given him the book of Isaiah the prophet, and when he unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it is written. Now notice, he read the scriptures concerning his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For this reason he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh! When he was done with that, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and all the eyes of the congregation were fixed on him. And he said, today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears. They said, who is this? Is this not the son of Joseph? Then Jesus said, you can tell me this parable. Physician, heal yourself. Then he said, truly I tell you, a prophet is not acceptable or accepted in his own country. Then he told them the truth from the scripture. He said, now in the days of Elijah, when there was the drought, the heavens were sealed for 3.5 years. Where was Elijah sent to but a widow in Sidon and to her son? Not to the children of Israel. Oh, they got mad at that. And then he said, in the days of Elisha, the successor of Elijah, there were many lepers, but none were healed but Naaman, the general of Syria. And they got all mad. Let's read it here. Verse 28. Now all the congregation who heard these things were filled with indignation, rather than saying, oh, this man speaks truth. Oh, yes, the reason God did that was because our forefathers rejected him. No, they were angry. Just like when you first bring up about, well, the Sabbath is the truth of God. People get angry. Verse 29, and they rose up and cast him out of the city and led him to the edge of the mountain on which their city was built in order to throw him down headlong. Who? Wow, what magnificent love toward the Son of God, huh? That's what people do today. Jesus keeps the Sabbath. He sets the example. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Jesus said, as we saw in Mark, the second chapter, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. Do you believe that? How many times must Jesus say that? Is not once sufficient? Don't we have the Old Testament and the Sabbath commandments? Don't we have the truth in the New Testament, how we're to keep the commandments of God? Don't we have it where then if we keep the Sabbath the way that God wants us to, that we are going to have a blessing and be benefited by it? Let's come back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Now, if we call the Sabbath a delight, which it is, holy unto the Lord, which it is, and if we don't do our own work, which we shouldn't, or our own business, which we shouldn't, here's what we need to do. Verse 13, Isaiah 58. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Do you delight in the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you understand the things that are being taught? This is why, church at home, you're not taught these things in any of the so-called Christian churches that you would go to. Surely not on Sunday. No, as one man said, every time I go to church on Sunday and they read down to the things concerning the Sabbath, whoop, they jump over it. Don't read it. I wonder why. Have you ever wondered why? I talked to a woman one time who said that, well, she sat in a Sunday-keeping church for 20 years, and every Sunday she wondered, why don't we keep the Sabbath? But there wasn't anything like church at home, so she could start at home, begin to learn. She was never encouraged to study the Bible herself to learn and understand the truth of God. She was never told to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And remember, there is not one single scripture in the entirety of the Bible that sanctifies the first day of the week as the weekly Sabbath for the New Testament church. Not a single one. See, God gave it as a blessing. Now we're going to see Jesus also set us the example of what to do on the Sabbath. So thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and download the material we have there. We have series on the Sabbath. We have Scripturalism versus Judaism. We have 50 articles you can download from Church at Home. We have much for you to learn to understand. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to turn from your way. Now is the time to turn to God. Now is the time to confess your sins and seek God, because the day is coming when you won't be able to do it, and then what will you do? So thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.